Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your grace and mercy. We thank you for how you have kept us in perfect peace. We thank you, Lord, for your presence in our lives. We thank you for leading and guiding us by your Holy Spirit. Thank you for teaching us your ways and helping us to obey your word and your truths. Thank you for making all things work together for our good. Thank you, Lord, for your light that is shining in our hearts, in our souls, in our minds, to deliver us from deception and the lies of the enemy and from darkness. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for these Bible study classes we always have. We thank you for always using these teachings to help many lives all over the world. Thank you for many that have been transformed. Thank you, Lord, for many that have been healed and delivered through the teaching of your word. Thank you, Lord, for many that has been revived and saved. Thank you for using these messages to save souls and to help people grow in the knowledge of you. Thank you, Lord. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. Lord, I am asking that as we would be having this session even now, let your Holy Spirit take over this session. Let every heart and mind that will be listening, let them be blessed. Let your will prevail in every life. Let there be transformation and edification. Thank you, Father, because I know you shall do beyond our expectations. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. I welcome you. As some people call it. Yeah, whenever we spend time with God, alone, without being distracted by anyone, He heals and restores our souls. And I said so many things under that point. And then the next, which is 7B, is that it gives us joy. Every time we stay with Him in the place of prayer or worship or studying His word, meditating on His word, every time we spend time with Him, the Lord gives us joy. Yeah, and I began to say many things under this point as well. So I'm going to continue from that point B. God gives us joy. God gives us joy. Yeah. Before I go into the scriptures under this point, I would also like to mention that when your personal fellowship with God is strong and consistent, then you do spiritual things with joy. Yeah, I've met some Christians, I've met some brethren who do spiritual work as though they are being forced to do it. I mean, when you ask them, let's do evangelism, let's go and preach the gospel, they don't find joy doing that. It becomes difficult for them, as though you are forcing them. When we talk about let's give to God sacrificially, let's contribute money, let's give to God, it becomes difficult for them, as though you are forcing them, to do it. That is wrong. If you are a child of God, any work of God
muted. The recording has started.
Man and woman in courtship, just as they spend time to know each other. I mean, in a marital relationship. You know, just as the man and the woman spend time to study each other's attitude and character and behavior. Yeah, the same with God. So if you love him, yeah, just as you tell your fiance or your wife that you love her, or your husband that you love him, then you have to spend time with the person you love. So if we love God, then spend time with God. That's how you prove that you love him. And then spend energy, give more energy to knowing him, since he is a person. Yeah, God is not just an external force. He is a being, he's a personality, he's a person. He is not just a power that answers prayers, he's not a power that works miracles. Yeah, God is more than a force or a power. God is a person, is a being, Yeah, so you spend time to know him. Spend time to know who he is. Spend time to know what he likes. Spend time to know what he does not like. Yeah, spend time to know what he hates and what he loves. Yeah. Because when you know what he hates, you will not do what he hates. And when you know what he loves, you will always do what he loves. Yeah. So if we claim to love God, we have to spend time with him. And I was saying that it is as you spend time with him that your joy multiplies. It is as you spend time with him that you grow in joy. You grow in joy, and then you get imparted with joy. Yeah, you get impartation of joy, if I can pray that way. So and I also said that when you get that joy being imparted into you, then it drives you to serve God. Yeah, it drives you to serve God. And you do you serve God with happiness, with great joy. You're not doing it as though, I mean, you're not doing God's work as though you are being forced or compelled to do it. When you have received joy from the Lord in the quiet time, or in your quiet time with him, or some people call it your secret place with him. When you have derived joy, when you have received joy from the Lord, then you will serve him with that joy. Yeah, I remember when I began to know the Lord, I mean very closely. Yeah. I was so excited to do anything for him. Naturally, I'm a very shy person. Yeah. Naturally, I hardly talk. And at the point, as I was growing, I can hardly even stand before a large crowd of people to talk. Yeah, and you know, I was thinking, how will I be able to preach before a large number of people? How will I be able to teach? How will I be able to, you know, lead them in prayers and all of that? Yeah, so I was like, how will I be able to do all of that as a shy person? As someone that is reserved. But when I began to walk with God, I began to spend time with God, I realized that I could do things naturally I couldn't do. Yeah. Because when you spend time with God, he fills you with his presence. He fills you with the Holy Spirit. Yeah. So the Holy Spirit is like a wine. You know those people that are alcohol drinkers or alcohol addicts. You know how they feel on top of the world after being drunk with wine? How they could stand anywhere, talk anything. Yeah, so the same with relationship with God. I mean, the same thing applies to your relationship with God or your fellowship with God. So as you spend time to know him, you get filled with with the Spirit, and then you can stand anyway to talk about the gospel. So yeah, when you get filled with the Spirit of God and with the joy of the Lord, you can stand before millions of people and teach the gospel and preach the gospel, because you will be bold. The Bible says that the righteous is as bold as lion. Yeah, you will be bold and fearless. Yeah, and you will be able to do the work of God without being ashamed, and without being you won't feel like you were forced to do it. You would do it so willingly. Yeah, you will do the work of God so willingly and so easily. Yeah, because you have spent time with God. Because you have spent time with God. Yeah, so I was talking about my own experience. So I said, I didn't know when I was preaching and I could face the crowd, I could talk, I could say anything. I don't care what people I don't care the reaction of the people. I could rebuke them, you know, by the word of God. I could correct them by the word of God. I could mention their sins to them. That the word of God is against this attitude and character. And I don't care what they will say. I don't care how they will react. Yeah, why? Because I've spent time with God. So I also feel with joy to do his work. And I was not feeling shy anymore. Yeah, because he has filled me with joy. At first, it looked like, how am I going to preach? Yeah, but because of that love I have for God, I said I have to do his work. Yeah, whether I feel good about it or I don't feel good, I said I just have to do his work. And I feel like what has happened to me can happen to others. I feel like the same salvation that has happened to me can happen to others, or should happen to others. So I feel like the good things I have tasted in God or from the Lord, I feel like others should taste the same. Yeah, I feel like I have learned from the Lord, I felt others should hear about it. Others should know about it. So that joy was so compelling that I had to keep, you know, ministering to people. And in the process, I forgot I was a shy person. I forgot I was a quiet person. I forgot I was a reserved person. Yeah, because I have drank from his presence. So when you spend time with God and you have received this joy, and you have, you know, and he has filled you with his Spirit, there is no one you won't be able to preach the gospel to. If you are still afraid of standing before people to preach the gospel to them, it's because you have not allowed the Spirit of God to prevail in you. Yeah, it's because you still need to repent of certain things. or you have not fully surrendered to him, when you let him have his way in your life, you can do anything for him. You'll be able to do anything for God. You'll be able to say anything for God. Yeah. You'll be able to go any length for God. If you have really spent time with him and you have allowed him to take over your life, you've surrendered all to him, then he will empower you with joy and with the Holy Ghost to serve him. And even while you are doing his work, if people attack you, you will not look at those attacks. There are some people, they started doing the work of God, and then along the way, because they were attacked, they were persecuted, maybe the pastor of the church was harsh on them, or some people in the church were doing certain things that offended them, so they feel like, I'm not going to do this thing again. Yeah, they feel like, why should the pastor be attacking me? Why should this brother or this sister in the church be working against me because I'm serving God? Or speaking against me because I'm serving God? And then because of that, they stopped serving God. They stopped doing the work of God. Yeah, those people have not found joy. And those people have not really encountered God. Yeah, so those people still need to go back to the secret place and spend time with God. Yeah, so that they can receive an everlasting joy that cannot run dry, so that they can receive strength and love and passion, and then grow in the love of God, such that even if the whole world is attacking them, they still will not stop doing the work of God. Yeah. So that is just what I feel like I should quickly say before we continue. And the point is that, for those of you that just joined, my point was, what I was saying is that, for those of you who just joined, I was saying that if you have received joy from the Lord as you spend time with him in his presence, that the joy you have received from him will drive you to serve God. Yeah, that was the point I was talking about, and that was what I was talking about before some of you joined. So I said that joy you have received from the Lord will drive you to do things for God. So when we talk about evangelism, you will do it cheerfully and willingly. When we talk about giving, you will give cheerfully and willingly because you have received joy from the Lord. Yeah, because you have received joy from the Lord. So my prayer for you is that that the Lord will help you to find every joy you have lost. And the Lord will help you to find that joy, and that the Lord will restore to you the joy you used to have before. In Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to look at some scriptures. Some scriptures under the point that God gives us joy as we spend quiet time with Him. In Psalm 5, verse 11. It says, "Let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee." Let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. What does that mean? From this verse, you can see that joy has two hands, or joy has two faces. Now, there's a part of joy that is supernatural. There's a part of joy that is miraculous. When God fills you with joy, there's a part of joy that comes by divine impartation, meaning that there's a kind of joy, or there's a dimension of joy that comes from heaven into your soul. The Bible also calls it the joy of salvation. You just feel so happy. You just feel so happy, so excited that you are a Christian. You feel so happy, so joyful that the Lord is with you. That is the supernatural aspect of this joy. Now there's another aspect that is from you. And there's another aspect of this joy that comes through self-determination. I mean, through your determination, through your sacrificial living. This dimension of joy is when you take pleasure in God. I think I have said something in this regard when somebody asked the question on the group about being delighted in the Lord. Somebody asked a question that what does the Bible mean when the Bible says that delight yourself in the Lord? That delight, that word or that phrase or clause, whatever you call it, that says delight yourself in the Lord, is also a kind of joy that comes through your own deliberate actions. So this kind of joy comes through your own determination and decisions and resolutions. So apart from the one that comes from heaven supernaturally, which you can't explain. It's unexplainable joy. You're just so happy. You're just so excited that you are a Christian. You're just so joyful that you are in God and God is in you. You are in Christ and Christ is in you and Christ is with you, and that you are not deceived, that you are enlightened, you know the truth, and you are walking in the truth. Yeah. So that one is supernatural joy. At whereby you rejoice in the Lord. Meaning that you take pleasure in the Lord. You delight in the Lord. Meaning that everything the Lord is, you are happy with it. Everything the Lord is doing, you are happy with it. Everything the Lord says, you are happy with it. Yeah, not that only certain things about the word of God pleases you. Other things, you don't delight in them. Yeah, then you cannot have the fullness of joy. So for you to have the fullness of joy, you also have to rejoice in the Lord. Yeah, that is what that verse is saying. It says, let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. Yeah. So if God says, don't commit adultery, are you happy about that? If God says, don't fornicate, are you happy about that? Or just feel like, let me just do this. Let me just do it because God says that. But you, are you happy that God says that? If God says you should give from your substance unto him, give from your possessions, from your resources, are you happy about the giving? Or you just feel like, let me just do it because they say we should be doing it, that when we do it, we get blessed. Yeah, are you just serving God because there's a law, because the Bible gave the instruction that you should do certain things for God? Or you are also happy about that thing you are doing for God? I don't know if you get what I'm trying to show you here. Yeah, because there was a time I was doing a teaching, and I said, we need to grow to the point where we obey God because we love him and not because we don't want to go to hell. Yeah, some people they are obeying God because they don't want to go to hell. And that is why they eventually went to hell. Yeah, they are not obeying God because they love him. And because they love his ways. Yeah, so some people, they feel like, this thing, I'm not going to wear trousers again. I'm not going to put this on again because I don't want to go to hell. Yeah, it's true. Yeah, but are you happy about it? When we say don't put on dresses that expose your nakedness, dresses that makes you a seductive instrument in the hand of the devil to make others fall into sin. And then you feel like, let me not do that because I don't want to go to hell. But the question is, are you happy that you are not wearing those seductive clothes? Are you happy about it? Or you are just doing it because there is a law that says don't do this thing so that you don't go to hell. Yeah, I don't know if you get my point. So I discovered that people that obey God because they love God, they usually end up making heaven. Than people that obey God because they don't want to be punished. Yeah, people that obey God, you know, because they love God. And of course, when you love God, it means you fear God. Yeah, not because you are doing it because, not because you are obeying God so that you won't go to hell. Of course, if you disobey God, you will go to hell. But in this teaching, my focus is on the fact that be happy in doing what God says is right. Be happy about it. It will help your joy to multiply. Yeah, when the word of God says do this, be happy doing it. Don't feel like you are, how will I put it now? Don't feel like you are being compelled to do it. Like I just have to do it because I don't have a choice. Yeah, do it like you want to do it. Do it like you're a citizen of heaven. You know, just as citizens of certain countries, they defend the interest of their nations. Yeah, do it like you're a citizen of a kingdom and you are defending the interest of God's kingdom. So do it like we are in this together. So when God says, go out and preach the gospel, like someone that is in partnership with God. Like you are saying, God, we are in this thing together. This is our business. This is my Father's business. So my Father's business is my business also. So when God says do this, you do it joyfully. That you do it joyfully, telling yourself that this is my Father's work, and my Father's work is my work. You know, whatever pleases my Father pleases me also. So I'm happy doing this thing. Yeah, do it with that kind of mindset. Not that God said I should do this. So let me just do it. Yeah. You know, because God said I should do it. I don't know if you're getting the picture I'm trying to show you here. So let us be joyful in the Lord. Be happy that you are doing what is right, what God showed you that is right. In fact, if you are just doing it because God says you should do it, very soon you will stop doing it. Yeah, if I am doing the ministry because God called me to do ministry, if that is the only reason why I'm doing ministry, I would have failed and probably I would have stopped doing it. Yeah, but I'm doing it because I also want to do it. Everything God wants me to do, I also want to do it. I am so happy about it. I'm so joyful about it. As a matter of fact, I can even put food aside. I can put many things aside, you know, many personal things aside and do it because I am also joyful doing it. So that is what the Bible means by rejoicing in the Lord. Yeah, so until we walk with God like that, we will not enjoy God. Yeah, so that is why you have to grow. You have to grow from being a Christian that is just serving God because of what God will give you back in return, because of the reward God will give you back in return. Of course, God will give you rewards, but grow beyond that level. Serve God serve God like it is your duty. Yeah, like it is what you are delighted in doing. Yeah, serve God like that. And as you make up your mind to do these things, may the Lord give you grace in Jesus' name. Amen. In Psalm 16, verse 11, yeah, it says, in thy presence is fullness of joy. In thy presence is fullness of joy. So just like I said earlier, that when you spend time with God, you'll be filled with joy. You'll receive impartation of his joy. And that joy will drive you to do good works. You know, that joy would drive you to do good works. And even that joy will not allow you to do what is wrong. Yeah. You know, I have been exposed to certain temptations. Yeah, and in the midst of those temptations, something in me just cry out against the sin. And I feel like I love God more than this. I feel like I love God more than this. Why should devil think he can use this to make me sin against my God? Why should devil think he can use this to make me hurt God? Yeah, because you know there's this love and joy within me that will not let me do what is wrong. Yeah, so the more you spend time in prayer, the more you will overcome temptations. Yeah, the more you spend time with God, the more difficult it will be for you to fall into sin. Yeah, because temptations come before sin. Yeah. Because that joy inside of you will not allow you to do what may hurt God, what will offend God. Yeah. So also in Psalm 40, verse 16, it says, let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Yeah, we have talked about that. And then in Psalm 51, verse 12, it says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. The joy of thy salvation. So I said that the joy of your salvation is that joy that fills your heart when you became a Christian, when you became saved. Yeah, but that joy can grow, and I've told you how to grow that joy. And that joy can be so, you know, can get so strong such that you can't lose it. Yeah, because it was David was praying in this place after he had committed a sin of adultery. He was praying in this Psalm 51 that God should restore the joy of his salvation. Yeah, so you don't have to lose this joy if you follow that principle I talked about not long. And what I said is that delight in the Lord and delight in his will, delight in his word. Yeah, so after you have been saved, as you study the word of God, be happy about all that the word of God is telling you and teaching you. And be happy to do them. Be intentional to do them. Be deliberate. Do them deliberately and willingly. And be happy about them, because this is the mind of God, your Father. And doing them will please him. So be happy doing what will please God. So if you can build that kind of joy, you will not lose the joy of your salvation. If you can be happy doing this same thing that makes God happy, then you will not lose your salvation. And of course, you know, when you lose your salvation, it means you are going to hell. Yeah. So let's look at another point. Point C, which is, it gives us, when you spend time with God, or when you have quiet time with God, it gives you spiritual strength. Yeah, in the book of Judges, chapter 5, verse 31, it says, let them that love him be as the sun when he goeth forth in his might. So let them that love God, let them be like the sun. You know how the sun is, you know, how the sun shines. Sometimes when the sun is shining in its strength, you can't just look, you can't tilt your head upward and look at the sun. You won't be able to do that. Yeah, you won't be able to do that because of the heat of the sun. Despite the fact that the sun is a million miles away from the earth, millions of kilometers, millions of miles away from the earth, yet the sun is still as hot, you know, or the sun could be very hot that you can't look at it. Yeah. So the Bible likened those that love God as the sun. The Bible likened those that love God as the sun, that they will shine. They will shine so strongly. They will shine so brightly. They will shine with great strength as the sun shines in its strength. Yeah, as the sun shines in its strength. So the Bible says that when you spend time with God, when you fellowship with God because you love him, you will receive strength. Yeah, you will receive strength. Also in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 7, you will see where it says, their strength is to sit still. In Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15, it says, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. And then in Isaiah 40, verse 29 to 31, it says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Yeah. They shall not be weary. They shall not faint. Yeah. So we get strength as we spend time with God. Some people, they are so busy doing the work of God, You're so busy running up and down, preaching here, preaching there. Yeah, but they don't have time for God. I mean, they are not spending time with God. And not only that, some people are so busy even with their secular jobs. Yeah, they're so busy trying to make money, and then they can't spend time with God. That is a very serious problem, because you wouldn't know when you will get lost forever. You wouldn't know when you will lose your salvation. You wouldn't know when you will go into deep darkness and even become an enemy of God. Why? Because you are not spending time with God. Yeah. Because you have not been spending time with God. So if you don't spend time with God, you will be spiritually weak. No matter how anointed you are, no matter how gifted you are, yeah, God can use you for miracles. You pray for people, they get healed. God can use you to teach in a powerful way, preach in a powerful way. But if you are not spending quality time with God, you will soon fail. You will soon miss it. And you will soon go astray and fall away from the light into darkness. Yeah, I'm telling you the truth. But that is why you can't afford to stop or to reduce to reduce spending time with God. Yeah, you can't afford to do that. It is indispensable. You can't afford to forsake that part of your Christian life. Yeah, you can't. So as I am, I spend more time with God than I spend with people. I spend more time with God than I spend ministering to people. Yeah. Because I know that it is dangerous to spend more time with people than with God. And as a matter of fact, it is going to cause a lot of havoc. It is going to cause a lot of failure. Yeah, because it is while you spend time with God that you get direction. That God would lead you, that God will guide you, that God would, would enlighten you. So if you don't spend time with Him, how can you live? So I don't know how I'm going to live if I don't spend time with God. If I don't speak to God, if I've not heard from God, if I've not learned new things from Him on daily basis, or if I'm not learning new things from Him on daily basis, I don't know how I'm going to live. Because to me, that is how to survive. That is how to live. You are not living because you have money in your account. I don't believe in that. I don't believe that is why I live. I'm not living because I have food at home. That's not why I'm surviving. That's not how I'm surviving. And that's not how I'm living. I believe I'm living because I'm spending time with God. Yeah, because I'm talking to God. fellowshipping with him. I believe that is why I'm leaving. Yeah, so let that be your way of life as well. Let it be your culture. Let's look at Isaiah 41 and verse 1. I'm still talking about God giving us spiritual strength. Let me read that, please. Isaiah 41, verse 1. Isaiah 41, verse 1. It says, keep silence before me, O highlands, and let the people renew their strength. Let them come near. Let them speak. Let us come near together to judgment. So God speaking here says that let the people renew their strength as they come near. As they come near. So there is an anointing, there is a presence in the place of fellowshipping with God. There's an anointing, there's a presence of God that renews your strength. You know, just like when your vehicle is lacking fuel. Your vehicle is lacking fuel, and then your vehicle is showing you a sign that fuel is about to finish, or that fuel has finished, and then the vehicle suddenly stop moving. And then you take the vehicle to the filling station, or you went to the filling station to get some fuel, and then you pour it into the vehicle, and then the vehicle gets revived again, and the vehicle is now ready to go many more miles. So the same thing with believers. When you feel drained, you feel exhausted spiritually, you feel like weak spiritually, what do you do? Do you still keep, filling your soul or filling your mind with fear, with anxiety, with worries? When you feel spiritually drained, what do? You go to where you can be strengthened. You go to where you can be recharged, just like you recharge your phone's battery. You go to where you can be revived, where your strength can be renewed. That is where you go. Now that you start talking to unbelievers, start talking to people that are not spiritual, people that will not counsel you and guide you in the word of God, that is not how you get revived. You go into God's presence, and in that place, your strength will be renewed. You draw near unto God. Even if you are dying, you feel like you are dying, just go to God and just begin to worship Him, begin to pray, begin to pour out your heart unto him. Now, does that faith connection, connecting with God through faith, it will supernaturally strengthen you. And then you can run with that strength you will receive. Amen. So another verse is Daniel chapter 11, verse 32. Yeah, which says the people that strong. Yeah, the people that do know their God shall be strong. I have explained it before, what it means to know God. Yeah, I've explained before that is more than head knowledge. Yeah, it's more than what you have read somewhere. It's even more than you having an anointing on your life. It's more than you being able to prophesy. Knowing God is more than you manifesting spiritual gifts. Yeah, knowing God is more than that. It's more than you being able to hear God's voice. I've told you what knowing God entails. And I said it entails a bond. A bond. Between you and God, just as what you know, just as Jesus described in John chapter 15, when he said, "Abide in me, and I in you." Yeah, so that kind of bond. You are in God; God is in you. Not that you are just saying it. Say it like. People can say things like, "I am in God. God is in me." You know, people can always confess that. I'm talking of practical, practical knowledge, experiential knowledge. So when the Bible says that you are in God, and that God is in you. Is it real to you? Are you walking in that reality? So knowing God is like a bond. Yeah. It's like a bond. You know, I think in Romans. Yeah. Where it says that the spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Have you read that place before in the Bible? Where it says the spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Yeah, so the spirit of God, bond, binding with your spirit. Are your spirit binding with the spirit of God? Like that connection, that bond, you are in the spirit is in you. Yeah, that is what knowing, yeah, it's something deeper than words, than hearing voice, hearing God's voice. It's something that you can feel. It's something that your spirit confirms. Even your spirit confirms that that God is in you and that you are in God. Yeah, and more realities, will become unfolded to you. Because of that bond, just like the bond between husband and wife. Yeah, so there is a bond between God and his children. So the children, they know him by that bond. Like they feel connected to him deep down inside of them. Yeah, they feel like I am connected. They also know it deep down inside of them that they are disconnected from God. Yeah, so that kind of spiritual awakening, that is the true knowledge of God. The spiritual awakening that happens deep down inside you. And that you know it by your spirit that you are connected to God. And when you are disconnected, you also know it deep down that you are disconnected. So the issue of salvation is not something that can be fake. That we can fake. It's not something that can be faked. And it's not something you can fake. You can fake it in the physical realm. But in the spiritual realm, you can't fake it. You know, Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, Apostle Paul said that he said that the standard of God is sure, having this seal, that God knows those that are his. Just as God knows those that are his, those who are God's, those who belong to God, they also know they belong to God. So there's a way you know that you are in God and God is in you. There's a way you know it practically. Not that you just read it in the Bible. Yeah, there's a way your spirit testifies that you are a child of God. Yeah, and there's a way we also know when you are going wrong. If you can't know these things I'm talking about, then you need to go back to God and work out your salvation. Yeah. And let God confirm in you that you are his child. Yeah, because these things they are practical. So you need to pray until you get a revival and awakening inside of you, that your spirit now confirms to you. I'm not talking about dreams and visions. I'm talking about something that you know, even as I'm talking right now, you know it inside of you that I am God's child. The Lord is in me and I am in God. And you know it with deep assurance. Not that you are trying to believe that you are God's child. You know it deeply in you by the spirit that is in you. That you belong to God. So that is the true knowledge of God. Not that you put scriptures in your head. Of course, that is part of it, but it's more than that. Yeah. All right. So I said in Daniel chapter 11, verse 32, the people that do know their God shall be strong. So when you have this knowledge of God, this practical, experiential, spiritual, and deep knowledge of God, you will be able to you'll be able to be strong. Yeah, because when the battle gets tough, when issues of life arise and you feel depressed, you feel you feel sad, you'll be able to go back to God. So David has have that. David had this connection with God that he knows how to always go back to God whenever he gets into trouble and he doesn't understand how to move on. He will go back to God to seek for his help and direction. And because God is faithful, God will always help him. And God will always guide and lead him. And that alone is strength for you to be able to go to God, yeah, at any time and receive direction from God, instruction from God, and guidance from God. That alone is strength. And I don't think there's anything in this world that is stronger than that. For you to go to God in prayer and get revelations and understanding and enlightenment and instructions and directions from Him in times of trouble, in times of confusion. For you to be able to go to God and get reassured, that alone is strength. And there's nothing stronger than that. Amen. So I believe you have learned some things in the course of this teaching. And if you have questions, it will be very good to ask. Yeah, you can always ask on the group platform. But we're going to stop here and we'll continue next Tuesday. Let us pray. Father, we thank you because you're a faithful God. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be called your children. We thank you for the privilege to be awakened unto you. We thank you for the privilege to be able to know you by our spirits, to be able to feel the connection binding us and you together. We thank you, Lord, to be able to receive directions and instructions from you. And we thank you for these teachings showing us benefits of spending time with you and how to improve in our personal walk with you. Lord, I ask that as many that have purpose in their heart to begin to do well in their walk with you, I ask that you give them grace in the name of Jesus. I pray for you that everything you need to possess in God, everything you need to receive in God, everything you need to enjoy and experience in God, the Spirit of God shall take you into all of them in Jesus' name. And what has been lacking in your personal walk with God for many years, the grace that has been lacking, the gifts, the abilities, spiritual abilities that have been lacking in your walk with God for many years, I pray that the hand of God will impart them into you in the name of Jesus. And your personal walk with God will become more powerful and full of fire in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. The Lord bless you. Remain strong. Amen.
Goodbye.